This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. After years of asking the Texas State Board of Education to allow more opportunity to teach Mexican-American studies in Texas classrooms, the activists, scholars, and motivated students and teachers got their wish. The board approved the inclusion of Mexican-American studies in the state curricula last year. But the book that focused, a book that focused on Mexican Americans, has appeared on the proposed list of textbooks for the 2017-18 academic session. It's being called racist and insulting and inappropriate. The book is called Mexican American Heritage, and it has become controversial. To talk about this, we're joined by Juan Tejeda. He's an instructor of Mexican American Studies at Palo Alto College, and Tony Diaz, a writer and activist at El Libro Traficante. And welcome to The Source, both of you, Juan and Tony. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So let me start off with Juan. Tell me what we know about this book. How do we know that this book is not adequate?
Well, it just recently came to light, this book, Mexican American Heritage, by two authors. One is Jaime Riddle, another Valerie Engel. It's just online. It's being proposed to the Texas State Board of Education. It's going to go through a review process over the summer and to be determined whether it will be adopted by the Texas State Board of Education in the fall. Just from what I've read, and I looked over the whole book today. It's over 500 pages, right? It's online only. And what I've read in the newspapers and what I read in the articles, it is very offensive to us as Mexican Americans, as Chicanos, as Latinos in general. There are some historically inaccurate things that are happening, some editorializing that they mention, that talking about the Chicano movement as wanting to destroy Western society and the immigrants as being a blight and a glut on American society, when studies time after time have showed just the opposite to be true. And I'm just personally offended that somebody who is not of our culture is writing these offensive things and very stereotypical things about my people and our people under the guise of being a legit Mexican-American studies textbook. And I see it more as an opportunistic thing coming from an ex-Texas State Board of Education member to really sort of, expose an ideology that is really anti-Mexican, anti-Chicano, and anti-Latino. And for profit, in a lot of ways, I think she's trying to be opportunistic to maybe even try to make some money on this. So we have our experts in the field. None of them were consulted. You know, we have our books, and none of them are being proposed.
Tony Diaz, what's your take on the book? What do you find offensive?
Well, I think if this book makes it into Texas classrooms, it will teach an entire generation to hate and fear Latinos. And part of the book goes out of its way to whitewash history, and then another part of the book has an agenda where it wants to paint Latinos as uneducated and Chicanos as violent. So Juan alluded to one quote. So you've got the quote, "Chicanos, on the other hand, adopted a revolutionary narrative that opposed Western civilization and wanted to destroy the society." Now, that's just one excerpt. And what I want to make clear, this is one of many. So it's not as if we pointed out the 10 errors that it could be fixed. Because if you look through it, if a sixth grader handed me this textbook, I would give them an F because they didn't properly cite their sources and they didn't keep going back to the thesis. So there seem to be random notions that are slipped in there until you see the bigger overview. So, for example, all of a sudden they start to talk about Marxism in Latin America. And it doesn't make sense until you realize that shortly after that they introduce the Chicano Liberation Front, which is a group that really is not talked too much about in history and had some different actions that could be seen as, you know, violent, but that is, marginal, off the radar. But this book wanted to link Marxism with Mexican-Americans. It doesn't talk about the history where Mexican-Americans were lynched in Texas. It doesn't talk about Mexican-only schools. It doesn't talk about our grandparents having to walk into restaurants and see signs that said no Mexicans or dogs allowed. And if I may, I'm glad we've caught this book at this time because we can prevent it. And you might recall last year there was controversy because a textbook that was actually in classrooms and made it to a parent's house contained an allusion to slavery. And if you recall the quote, basically it talked about slavery in the following manner. The Atlantic slave trade between the 1500s and 1800s brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations. And that just omits so much history and glosses over so much. This book does that times a thousand.
And so how did this book come to be? I mean, it just seems like if you're going to create a book, Mexican-American Heritage, teaching Mexican-American studies in Texas public classrooms, why would it's hard to speculate and go to motivation, but if it's what you say is true, Juan, why do that? I mean, it seems counterproductive.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think it was opportunistic on one hand. They saw a way to maybe make a little bit of money, but more importantly, to espouse an ideology and politics that want to form a counter-narrative and not really present the truth about our history as Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, and Chicano, as indigenous people, as Native Americans here first. Because even the way they talk about the indigenous people at the beginning of the book as Native Americans, very patronizing, you know, they come from tribes. Even I think they use the words uncivilized in their very racist in that sense, really pay very little attention to that aspect of our history, which is very important, and focus on other things, you know, as Tony said, as sort of a whitewashing. So I think they see the inevitable. They see our numbers growing. We are the majority of school-age children in Texas schools, over 50% right now. Within the next 30 to 40 years, we're going to be closer to 70%. And it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, this goes back to the problem of the educational system here in Texas in general in the United States. If these courses, Mexican-American studies courses and indigenous courses and ethnic studies courses in general, help our students to succeed, and they do, and tests and studies have shown that, two major studies right now from Arizona and Stanford, that they help our students to get better grades, to graduate at higher rates, to be more engaged academically. If they help our students succeed, why do they not want them in our classrooms? We need our students to succeed. The majority of them are Mexican-American if we want our state to succeed and our nation to succeed economically. So,
okay, we're going to take a quick break. Our phone lines are open if you want to call in and join our conversation as we talk about Mexican-American studies and this book in particular, Mexican-American Heritage, and the controversy that surrounds it. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. This is The Source. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A proposed Texas public school textbook for Mexican-American studies is being called racist and not a reflection of serious academic study. The critics say the book titled Mexican-American Heritage is poorly written, factually incorrect, and was prepared by non-experts. We're joined by Juan Tejeda, an instructor of Mexican-American studies at Palo Alto College, and Tony Diaz, an activist and writer. He's at El Libro Traficante. And on the line, let's bring in a caller. We've got Senator Jose Menendez. Senator Menendez, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, David, it's always good to be with you and your listeners. And I'm just shocked and disgusted with what I'm hearing. I didn't realize that there was, I mean, obviously you know that this kind of ignorance is around, but you don't think that someone would have the audacity to put it down and propose it as a textbook that would actually be taken credibly. And so I didn't know if the gentleman on the line, if they knew if there had been an organized response in opposition to this yet. If not, I'm going to propose that I talk to, as the vice chair of the Senate Hispanic Caucus, that I'll talk to my chair, Sylvia Garcia from Houston, so that we could prepare an official response denouncing this publication.
If I may.
I love it.
If I may answer
I believe
that.
We're having a meeting right now then. That sounds great.
All right.
He's an ally of ours. And that's fantastic. If I could just add a few quick things, is that there is right now a petition demanding that the book be removed from the list, and also demanding that the Texas State Board of Education open up a call for Mexican-American history books, African-American, Native American, and Asian American. And people can get one version of that petition at librotraficante.com. The other thing I want to add, too, is that Juan can tell you about a big summit coming up, but we need your listeners to know that the formal conversation will come up in September, which coincides with Hispanic Heritage Month during a presidential election year. So it does me, it does my heart's wonders to hear that you're ready to organize with us, senor. So we're on board, and Juan can tell you more about the summit.
Okay, Juan, go ahead.
Well, yes, we're right now having a meeting on Saturday. People are reviewing the book and reading the entire book to have a formal response. There's various organizations citywide and statewide that are banding together, including Mexican-American Studies programs across the state, Somos Más, Mexican-American Studies here, Más Unidos, student organizations. We're having a strategy meeting this Saturday. We are planning, and this just happens to be great timing, for, as Tony mentioned, the first ever statewide summit on integrating Mexican-American studies into Texas schools from pre-K to the 12th grade. That will be held here in San Antonio on June 18th at San Antonio College. We have a great response right now for people that are going to be attending from across the state. And Senator Menendez, one of our strategies is obviously to speak to our elected representatives, so I'm glad that you called in. We're definitely going to be speaking to the state legislature about this, because we know that this is not right, and that a lot of times, because there are elected representatives from throughout the state on the State Board of Education, that the only way that some change can occur is through the legislative side. So we're going to be speaking to all our representatives, and hopefully there'll be a response to this textbook and other things that are going on in regards to American Indian and Mexican-American studies and other ethnic studies here.
Juan and Tony, you can count on my support, and I just find it unbelievably offensive that this state, when it comes to asking people to come here to help with the labor needs, whether it's in the hospitals as nurses or whether it's in the field as laborers or construction sites or hotel rooms, they don't have a problem asking for help. But when it comes to representing us in a proper and appropriate, educationally accurate way, they come up with this trash. This is very offensive.
That's right.
All right, Senator Menendez, one quick question, not to get political about this, but we saw in the recent state Republican convention, part of the platform that was adopted was a plank that was encouraging assimilation and the doing away with titles like Mexican-American and stuff, and just want everyone to become American. So how does that ring to you in regards to this tactic of putting out this book?
Well, I think disturbing, if that were the case, okay, because I agree. Look, I'm an American citizen, right? Yes, but I have my heritage that I'm proud of, and there's nothing wrong with having my culture that I'm proud of. There's nothing wrong with anybody from any other country to know where they're coming from, what their origins are, what their language is, and our differences make us stronger as a nation. I mean, we're a nation built of immigrants. And, I'm not saying that we continually divide ourselves or separate ourselves, but we have to not put ourselves down. And that's what this book does. It says negative things, horrible stereotypes and generalizations that are inaccurate. So right. I don't think washing away what these titles. If I choose to say that one day, well, look, I'm of Mexican-American heritage, that's okay. I am an American. I agree with that. But I don't think that you need to, uniquely say you have to forget where your heritage is from, because I don't do that to people who come from Ireland or England or anywhere else. I don't try to wash away their heritage. Sure. They're welcome to celebrate their culture. And I rejoice in that. I have fun going to some other events and learning about other people's culture. And I think that's what we should all do, is actually celebrate each other's differences, knowing that we're Americans.
All right. So, Senator Menendez, thank you for calling in. Got to get to some of these other callers. Appreciate that. Let's get Chris on the line. And Chris has called in. Hi, Chris. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
All right, thank you. I am calling because I have a quick comment. The gentleman was asking earlier about he didn't understand why this occurs.
That was me.
And as a non-native Texan from a state with a fantastic educational system, from what I see, there's just an overall inability of some white people to grapple with the ugly facts of their past. Hmm. And I've seen this over and over, whether it's you know textbooks or not wanting to put markers up for massacres that had happened in Texas. I believe that was a show that you guys did.
Yes.
A few months back. It's they have a need to see themselves as somehow this great white savior, and that's why the textbooks always seem to be so patriarchal, and they seem to have such a problem with the notion of anyone having a culture that is not like theirs. So of course they want you to assimilate because somehow their race is superior or their culture is superior, as if, you know, yours is inherently inferior.
Right.
It's a very weird thing that they have here, and I just haven't seen it anywhere else.
It's been labeled white fragility by some people as this inability to factor in all of the elements of history that are sometimes uncomfortable. But Chris, thank you for your call, Chris. Let's get another caller, Daniel, on the air. Got a lot of callers here. Daniel, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for hearing me today. I just had one quick comment. I think that this has been a consistent approach by the Texas Board of Education to regularly present Mexican-American history and histories as problematic histories. The Chicano movement I was educated in Texas. I'm now an educator in Massachusetts. But I experienced that going through the Texas educational system where the history of my people, Chicano people, was always portrayed as a problematic history. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think this is something that's necessarily new, but it's part of a long history, in Texas.
If we were portrayed at all, because for the most part we're excluded, and then the other side of it is that we're portrayed very negatively and stereotypically and inaccurately historically.
All right. So, Daniel, thank you for the call. But, you know, it brings up a great point here is how we are captured by the narrative that we are fed. And that is why this is so important. So if we have this one narrative, this one great story that we're told about who Mexican Americans are, and, oh, Raza Unida was this very disruptive organization, we don't talk about the fact that they were fighting for good drainage and better living conditions and better funding for their schools and all these other really important issues, then, you know, we don't get the full story, and that's so important. And Tony, can you add to that?
Yes, and let me give two very real ramifications of this, because your call has brought up some great points. Besides just how it could be offensive to folks of the culture, I worry about the damage it could do intellectually to students who study this, which we promise they won't. I'm glad we're going to all unite to stop this book. But can you imagine a student that was subjected to this book going off to college outside of state and saying some of the things that he or she learned from the book, such as the, of course, they don't use the word Native Americans, but the Indians were uneducated and had no formal education. Well, probably someone from another state will say, well, really, how did those pyramids get built? Did they build them themselves? Was it by luck, or did aliens build it? And the other thing, too, especially with a political candidate who is vilifying folks from Mexico by saying that they're rapists and saying he needs to build a wall to keep these dangerous people out, you've got a book called Latino Civil Injustice where Judge Salinas talks about how anytime you start vilifying an ethnic group, you will see that hate crime increases against that group, and he's quantified that. So that's the other dangerous component of all this, which is why we really need to squash this.
I really want to get one last caller in just to have more voices in on this, and Armando has called in. Armando, hi, you're on the air. We're short on time, but go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a Chicano, and I think it's really important that we differentiate between nationality and ethnicity. Different countries, different parts of the world have different ethnicities. So when we're talking about Mexican-American, Asian-Americans, we're talking about the beauty of the diversity of that country. And it needs to be honored. It needs to be recognized correctly by experts. And when we lose that, then we lose a sense of who we really are as Americans.
All right, Armando. Thank you for the call. Well said. And so one to Heather.
And I just want to bring up that point again in terms of who are the real Americans here, and refer back to what Senator Menendez said about this is a nation of immigrants. Well, this book, and this is a quote from the book, talking about immigrants and illegal immigration has, quote, caused a number of economic and security problems in the United States, and says poverty, drugs, crime, non-assimilation, and exploitation are among some of these problems. We as Chicanos and as Mexican Americans here have been made out to be, all of us, immigrants here in this country, when in effect, we are the indigenous people. We are native. We are the real Americans, if you will, that we've been here for thousands of years, and yet we've been made out to be immigrants in our own land, you know, and strangers in our own land, and terrorists almost, you know, seal the borders, you know, the terrorists are coming in, and that is totally wrong. This is important for our children to know that we have been here for thousands of years. Be proud of that, that we are Native Americans, the original people of this continent.
And Tony Diaz, 30 seconds.
I hope everyone can help us out and go to LibroTaficate.com to sign the petition. And they know that we're going to be hitting up all the Texas State Board of Education members who are up for election coming up soon.
All right. So the book has not been totally approved. It's only been proposed. Seems like there's a lot of movement to keep it from being proposed, and maybe there might be a backfire that will be even more of an effort to put a stronger, more appropriate book into circulation that could help the students. I want to thank our guest, Juan Tejeda, instructor of Mexican-American Studies at Palo Alto. You have an event coming up.
June 18th, the first ever Texas Summit on Integrating
and Tony
Mas
Diaz
into Texas schools.
Source continues.
Thank you.